I'd invite you to take your Bibles this morning and go with me to the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And while you're turning, just kind of a fun little story. This week, some friends of ours here at Grace Point were getting ready to go to surgery. And as they prepared to go to surgery, they thought they needed to give their surgeon some essential gifts. Things that they thought were absolutely just necessary and needed for their surgeon to make sure he did the absolute best job. So in their little bag, they included a five-hour energy drink, super glue, duct tape, Band-Aids, and two Snickers bars. Right? Isn't that great? The surgery went well. It was 8 hours long or maybe just a little bit shorter. But they wanted to encourage their surgeon. They thought, you know, there are some essentials that you need as you do the hard work. And as you're going to be doing all this, we need you to stay awake. We need you to have plenty of energy. We need you to glue the stuff that needs glue and Band-Aid the stuff that needs Band-Aid because we want the best possible outcome. And as I was visiting with them and praying with them, and they had such a fabulous perspective of how God is working through this surgery in their lives. It reminded me of my message this morning. We are entrusted with essentials. Pastor Steve began us in a series on Mother's Day on entrusted. This morning, you and I are entrusted with the essentials, things that are absolutely critical, essential to doing the best we possibly can, and those essentials are spiritual gifts. Last week, Pastor asked us to consider, what does best and first look like? What does giving our best and giving first look like for the body of Christ? So as I started thinking about that as well, I started thinking, in my mind, it looks like a hospital. It looks like a hospital that heals and promotes from within. The sick, everybody is sick. The sick who come to the church, they find health, they find wellness. Those healed people become, if you will, candy stripers. They become janitorial staff. They become security, receptionists, food service. Some become LPNs. Some become RNs. Some become administrators. Some become physicians. All from within. We are all healing. We are serving. We are encouraging wellness from within. That's what we do at Grace Point. That is right on par with Colossians chapter 1, verse 28. We proclaim him, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone perfect and complete in him. This morning, as we consider entrusted with the essentials, we're going to be looking at three key steps to following and following through with Colossians 1, 28. We're going to be discovering, developing, and deploying our spiritual gifts. So you have your Bibles open to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's read just the beginning few verses there. Now about spiritual gifts, brothers, I don't want you to be ignorant. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced, led astray by mute idols. Therefore, I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all through of them in all men. Verse 7, now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there's given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another a message of knowledge. By another the same Spirit, and to another faith. By the same Spirit to another, gifts of healing, and to one, and by that one Spirit to another, miraculous powers, and to another, prophecy, and to another, distinguishing spiritual between spirits, to another, speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the working of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines. I want to be clear about a couple things as we begin 1 Corinthians chapter 12. At the time of salvation, God gives every believer at least one spiritual gift, if not more than that. Additionally, he never gives one believer all the spiritual gifts. Also, I want to be clear about this, that none of us is exempt from serving in Christian character. He calls you and I to trust in Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, and that none of us is exempt from serving. Here's how I want to flush that out. Every believer is entrusted to show mercy although some of us are gifted with mercy. Every believer is entrusted to be mature enough to be able to teach the truths of the Word of God. Some believers are gifted with the spiritual gift of teaching. Every believer is entrusted to give offerings. Some have been entrusted with the gift of giving. Every believer is entrusted to do the work of an evangelist. Some are gifted as evangelists. And we are all entrusted to be a servant of Jesus Christ. Some are given the spiritual gift of serving or helps. Because we may or may not have a spiritual gift is not an opportunity not to fulfill that spiritual gift or not to participate in that aspect of Christian character. And I think that's an important aspect, a very first important point as we begin to look at these steps. The first step this morning is to discover what we are entrusted with, to discover this essential. So the question immediately pops up, does 1 Corinthians 12, chapter or verse 1, mean you? Is that pointing to you? I don't want you to be ignorant about spiritual gifts. People who've been saved for a year, 5, 10, 15, 20 years, who don't know, number one, what spiritual gifts are, and secondly, what theirs may or may not be. Paul, using Paul's words, says that's ignorant. And he doesn't want us to be that way. He wants us to grow in our understanding and knowledge of these gifts because we have all been entrusted with at least one. So this morning, I've got six different surprises for us, all right? Six different surprises. Surprise number one, surprise, you've been created for ministry. Is that a surprise to you? I hope not, but it might just be. Ephesians 2:10, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to sit in the pew. Oh, no, wait. We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to not do a whole lot and let other people do it who are younger. Okay, that's not it either. We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has prepared in advance for us to do. All of us, no excuses. Young and old. Each one of us created for ministry, using our spiritual gifts. Second surprise, you've been saved for ministry. If you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you've trusted in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ as your Lord. That step took place so that you can minister, so that you can serve. 2 Timothy 1:9. It is he who saved and chose us for his holy work, not because we deserved it, but because it was his plan long before the world began. This is why we need everybody's spiritual gifts. We need the students who are looking more forward to going home and playing Xbox than coming to church to serve in our local church. We need boys and girls to come down the middle aisle and to do their little dance and to sing to us and encourage us. We need that. We need our senior saints to be in a prayer ministry on Thursday nights, on Wednesday mornings, in their class and throughout the week. We need them. We need you. Your church body has to have everyone engaged in one form or another of spiritual service. Because you were saved for that reason. There's nowhere in Scripture where you find that God is complacent with saving and sitting. It's not in Scripture. So we were created for ministry. We've been saved for ministry. We have also been called to ministry. Galatians 1:15, God in his grace chose me before I was even born and called me to serve him. Each one of us has been called to serve him. Some in upfront areas, others behind the scenes area, but each one of us has been called. Ephesians 4:1, Paul says, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you've received. In the first century, as people were being added to the church, Paul already had to beg. He already had to plead, I'm urging you, please fulfill the calling that you've been called to do. And so this morning, 2,000 years later, we're not past that urging. We need it. We need each one of us to fulfill our ministry. One author wrote this, I am not who I think I am. I am not who you think I am, but I am really who God says I am. I am saved. I am chosen. I am selected to serve. Not only that, but you have been gifted for ministry. 1 Peter 4:10, as each has received a gift, use it to serve yourself for your own pleasure. Oh, no, wait, sorry, that's another bad interpretation of that verse. But we read it that way sometimes. Here's what it says. As each has received a gift, use it to serve others as good stewards of God's varied grace. Use it to serve others because you've been entrusted. These spiritual gifts are not an enlargement of talents and abilities. People have natural talents and natural abilities. Some have natural talents in relation to art and graphics and design and photography and all those other great things. Spiritual gifts are above and beyond natural talents, natural abilities. They are a special grace given by the Holy Spirit to every believer at their new birth to be used to minister to others and therefore build up the body of Christ and forward the progress of the gospel. Spiritual gifts are not for anybody else except for God's servants, God's saints. He has given us gifts to use with his community for his people to encourage us, to build us up, and to profit and benefit God's kingdom. They're not for us. And that brings us to the fifth surprise. You've been commanded to ministry. Matthew chapter 20, verse 28, even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others. We often say Jesus Christ is our ultimate example. He didn't come to serve himself. He would have gained nothing from stepping out of heaven. But he stepped out of heaven and came to this earth at Christmas, resurrected on this earth the third day at Easter for our benefit, not for his own. Additionally, we read in Colossians 4:17, take heed to the ministry which you have received from the Lord, that you may fulfill it. Pay attention to it. Take heed to it, of the ministry that you've been given. And last, the last surprise, you've been equipped for ministry. Or better yet, you are being equipped for ministry. And I'll give you another Pierce paraphrase here a little bit. God gave some pastors and teachers to do all the work of the church because the people don't want to do it. One giggle there. Yeah, some of these verses are really poignant. Here's what it says, Ephesians 4, 11 and 12. God gave pastors and teachers to prepare God's people for works of service so the body of Christ might be built up. But so often in so many churches, people come and say, oh, I've got a great ministry idea for you to do. Oh, that sounds great. Do you have the passion to do it? Yes. Do you have the vision to see it accomplished? Yes. Why would I do that then? God's given you that passion, that vision to see it accomplished. Good, I'm glad. But it doesn't necessarily mean it comes on my desk. Right? We don't have to be the only people that perform these works of services. The ministry of our church is to build all of us up for works of service, to prepare his people for works of service. So have you discovered what you find easy? Are there just some things that come easier for you than others? For some people, it is not easy to stand at the door and handshake and put a smile on their face. Some people have the gift of grumpiness, and it's not quite there. Others aren't gifted with grumpiness, they're gifted with hospitality. And when they get an email from Pastor Brian that says, hey, I really need you, can you greet at the door? They're like, hey, yeah, I'll greet at the door, I love it. And for others, they just find that easy. I trust you don't find being grumpy too easy. Have you discovered what you find enjoyable? What puts a smile on your face will probably put a smile on God's also. He doesn't change us into things that we're not. He builds us up into what he's already created in us. If you find it enjoyable, it will probably put a smile on God's face as well. You're letting him work in your heart and life and to change you into the image of Jesus Christ. And you find, you just love to vacuum. I don't know what it is. Some people just love to vacuum. We need that. We need your gift of vacuuming. We call it the gift of helps, but hey, we can call it the gift of Kirby. I don't care. The Auric people, hey, fabulous. We love you too. We need that. What do you find enjoyable? Have you discovered what you find exciting? What is your passion? What do you like to talk about? What do you eat, live, and breathe, and think about, and just kind of spills out on you? We need that. We need your excitement. We need your passion. But again, you've got to be balanced out. Oftentimes in church ministry, people will come and they will say, I've got a passion, I've got a vision. With a team of 500 people and $250,000, we could do this next week. Brian, make it happen. Okay. Where are you building these 500 people? Oh, no, that's your job, Brian. That's your job, Pastor Steve. Pastor Aaron, find 500 people in 7 days so we can fulfill my vision. All right, well, let's talk about the second piece then. The $250,000 part, little bit of an issue there, okay? Just a little bit. But often people will come with these grandiose plans, and I want to ask, have you led 500 people in anything? Well, no, but I'm in charge of the janitorial staff. All right, okay, got that. You know, all four of us, including me, we can clean some stuff. Have you ever managed $250,000? No, but I would love to. Okay, not yet. Okay, not yet. What do you find exciting? What do you find that has been extended to you? Has God opened some doors of ministry to you that honestly you emailed back and said, no, I don't think so? You looked at him in the face and politely said, no, that's not going to be for me. Some doors of ministry have been open, perhaps, and you said, no, not so much. Have you heard about the guy that was called to preach and couldn't find anybody that was called to listen? Sometimes I wonder if that was me, right? We got to be careful. But what do we find that's been extended to us? And then have you discovered what's been effective? What are you good at? Are the blessings of God upon what you have given yourself to do? There are people who believe they have been called to do a thing, and they keep doing this thing, and honestly, God's not blessed it. God's not in it. People have lovingly come alongside, put their arm around, and said, brother, sister, and they, no, I know God is charging forward. Well, you're charging forward. Perhaps God's not yet. His answer in our prayers is often yes, maybe, wait. Or no? What are you effective at? We need to discover how we have been enabled. Secondly, we need to take that next step. We need to develop what we have been entrusted with. We need to use, study, and listen. When you become a believer, you come fully secured, but you don't come fully developed, and neither do the gifts that God has given you at that moment. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 14 and 15. Don't neglect your gift. Be diligent, it says, to progress. You have been given at least one gift, many people, multiple gifts. Be diligent to progress in those gifts. Don't just sit by and wait for them to be forgotten about by you and others. Additionally, 2 Timothy 1:16, stir up the gift of God. Mix it up a little bit. Stir things around some. Stir up the gift of God that he's planted in you. One author wrote this, and it has impacted me greatly. It's easier to discover your spiritual gift through ministry than to discover your spiritual gift through your spiritual gift. I'm going to give it to you one more time. It's easier to discover your spiritual gift through ministry than to discover your ministry through your spiritual gift. In other words, get plugged in little ways, and your spiritual gift will point you into the directions you enjoy most. You might get involved in a Sunday school class, and you know teaching just might not be your thing, but you love to organize the stuff. You love to get the papers ready to go, the cotton balls ready to go, the sticks laid out, and that's just, you just eat that up. We've got some ladies, that's exactly what they do. Each week, they are faithful in coming here and prepping a lot of the stuff that goes on in our children's ministry. 90% of the church has no idea they do that, but they do it faithfully every week, and they eat it up. They love it, making the copies and putting the stuff together and handing the little Ziplocs all ready to go for all the kids. I don't know all that they do, but I know they do a lot of it. And they might not. I really don't even know if they're up front, because it really doesn't even matter. What matters to me is that they are faithfully involved in that ministry, and it's fabulous. It's wonderful. We've got somebody else who has determined on his own. He's like, you know what you guys need? You need somebody to come in and turn on all the computers and get all that electro gizmo stuff all set up. I'll do that. And we said, oh, you will? Fabulous. Do that, please. That'd be outstanding. Faithfully, every week before any of us really come in, all the stuff turns on, all the screens work, we can all get our children checked in, and it's wonderful. It's fabulous. They discovered their spiritual gift through a ministry. Because often the antithesis is, you know, I'm not sure what my spiritual gift is. I'm really not sure. So until it's revealed through me, then I'm not going to really get involved in the ministry because I don't know what my spiritual gift is. And until that happens, then I'm just going to wait and cool it and hold off and just relax. Don't do that. Please don't do that. Get involved. Get engaged in one degree or another. And let your spiritual gifts percolate as you're already involved. Use them. Also, study them. Do you have the gift of leading? Oftentimes, people that do have the gift of leading want to lead in miraculous, wonderful, and huge ways. Great, but he who is faithful in little will be faithful in much. Lead in little ways first. Lead in little ways. Lead with the little people. Lead in smaller events. Lead in smaller activities and small groups and small studies and life groups and all those kinds of things. And then as God blesses and leads, you will lead in larger areas as God opens those doors of opportunity. But if you have the gift of leading, that doesn't mean you get to immediately step and be in charge. You got to be careful, all right? God has others with the gift of leading also. Do you have the gift of giving? The gift of giving is not the gift of just spending crazy, just handing it all away and being a pauper on the streets. People with the gift of giving need to study their gift to see how it's best to give and best to earn. There are some areas it is not good to give in. There are certain organizations it is not good to give in. It's not even wise. There are certain ways to earn money and to research money in relation to investments, estate planning, wills, and trusts. People with the gift of giving, they need to study these things out so they can use their gift in a wonderful and huge and blessed way. People with the gift of hospitality, they need to learn how to be hospitable to the unsaved, how to be hospitable to believers as well, and to use their gift. What I would really love for our greeters and our ushers to hand out after our services this morning t-shirts that say someone. I would love that. And have you all take one and put it on. Because we need someone to help in parking lot attendance. We need someone to organize the cotton balls in the classroom. We need someone to help with donuts and stuff downstairs. We need someone to straighten up our aisles and our chairs. We need someone to put pencils and stuff we need somebody to straighten up the stuff up here. We need someone to do a lot. The Lord needs someone. And I want to hand out shirts that say, we're all getting to be someone. That didn't go nearly as well as I'd hoped. I get any amens. There's one. You hear my heart on that, right? I own a t-shirt company. We need your gifts. I teach a class on spiritual gifts. It's called Shape. It's great stuff. I love it. But honestly, as you do a ministry, your spiritual gift, like I said, should percolate up. And let me give you a little story on how that can happen. Individuals react to certain situations based, I believe, on their spiritual gifts. I'm going to put it outside of the Christian context a little bit. If a waitress spills a dinner, I used to work at the Olive Garden. All right, I've done this. I got this huge tray of food on my hands. I'm having one of those nights. I start hopping up the stairs in this light on the edge, hits me in the head. I drop my food all over. It's a bad night. If there's a group of Christians sitting nearby, which there never was, but there could have been, they would have done this. The person with the gift of mercy would have responded and concentrated on cleaning up the mess. They would have just hopped to and begun cleaning. No words said at all. The person with the gift of giving would have immediately offered to pay for the food. The person with the gift of encouragement would have sought to cheer me up. That would have been nice. The person with the gift of administration would have been delegating and organizing the whole matter to avoid any confusion. The person with the gift of teaching would have suggested some ways to avoid that reoccurrence of the problem. That's called the gift of annoyance. We don't need that gift. Some people believe they have the spiritual gift of gossip. And I don't even call it a spiritual gift any longer. That gift is not a gift, it's a sin. And it needs to be treated as such, especially in the community of Christ. With a smile on and a gossip word said, with a handshake and a did you hear, those things need to be treated as such. It's not a spiritual gift. It's a sin. We have to be incredibly careful. Our spiritual gifts make us sensitive to certain needs that others may not even perceive. Do what you see needs to be done. Oh, they need cotton balls put in plastic bags. I can do that. And you just do it. It might not be up front. Perhaps nobody even asked you to do it. But then you check with the three ladies in children's ministry, and they're like, oh, thank you for putting the cotton balls in the bags. Small little things, huge impact in other areas. We need someone to volunteer for Vacation Bible School. Oh, I could never do that. Have you tried? It's how I got started. I trusted Jesus at 17 years old, and my youth pastor literally did two things that I still to this day am somewhat bitter at. He put me in a quartet to sing, right? And it was Alas and Did My Savior Bleed and Did My Sovereign Die. I memorized the entire song, scared to death. Second thing, he put me in Vacation Bible School. He put me as a helper in a class at Vacation Bible School with a bunch of little brats. Oh, they weren't little brats. It was great. Man, I just had a great time. There's no better people to be relating to and having fun with than the little guys, because they don't complain. They might kick you in the shin, but it's not that big of a deal. They don't, you know, you don't have to have every spiritual answer. You know, when it says in Genesis 15:7, blah, 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 have you considered, you're like, be quiet, you're in third grade, let's go play hula hoops. Okay. And off they go. Have you tried? Have you been invested in the ministry? We need someone to do these things. Use your spiritual gift, study your spiritual gift, listen to others. And I mean that. One way to determine God's calling in my life was absolutely to listen to others. When I was considering going off to school and becoming a pastor, I literally went and sought out advice and said, do you think? And I really expected to be like, no, Brian, you should stick to, like, you know, laundry detergent and other things, because this is, you know, ministry's not for you. Instead, they said, Brian, you know what? With some training, with some prayer, with some work on some hard edges, let the Lord see. That's advice probably pretty good for all of us. What are people telling you? Hey, you've got the gift of encouragement. Whenever I see you, you're shaking people's hands and you're smiling. You've got the gift of encouragement. Have you considered popping into this ministry? You know, you're a quieter personality, but you love being behind the scenes. You don't mind getting your hands ready with the baptistry and the cloths and taking care of paper and all that kind of stuff. Maybe you've got the gift of helps. You're great with kids. Have you ever seen how you react with little people? And you can always spot the people, the moms and the dads and the husbands and wives who are just great with the babies. You just know it. You're like, oh, give me the baby. And they're, oh, you're like, okay, that person, they've got, you know, that gift of empathy. They love it. Do that. Listen to other people. Your spiritual experiences matter. Has God used you to minister to his people through these experiences, through your experience of spiritual, meaningful decisions? Has God placed in your heart those painful experiences, those problems, those hurts, those trials that they have taught you? Has God moved in your world through those painful times to be able to minister to people today? How about your educational experiences? And I don't mean college and high school. I mean, perhaps you went to the old school. Perhaps you got a degree from the University of Life. Maybe you graduated from the School of Hard Knocks. Those things matter. We need your wisdom in these things. And of course, your ministry experiences. Has God opened the door for you in the past? And if so, perhaps he's going to open the door for you again in the future. Finally, that brings us, take your Bible and go to 1 Corinthians 12 again, verses 8 through 25. Actually, we'll read verse 19 through 25. This takes us to the neglected step. 1 Corinthians 12, beginning in verse 12. The body is a unit, Though it is made up of many parts, and through all the parts of many, they form one body, so it is with Christ. We are all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, we've all been given the one Spirit to drink. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, because I'm not the hand, I will not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, then where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The neglected step. Are you more excited about your upcoming vacation than you are about using your spiritual gifts next weekend? Are you neglecting to deploy your spiritual gift? In verses 8 through 11, we see Paul telling us, deploy them under his power and under his direction. Deploy your spiritual gift under his power and under his direction. 2 Corinthians 5:15, that we who live should no longer live to ourselves. Your spiritual gift is the one gift that God gives that is not for you. Your spiritual gift is to be used with his people, his saints. It's not for you. It's not even necessarily for your enjoyment, but you'll be enjoying it while you do it. It's made for the saints. This means that single ladies, widows, widowers can have a huge ministry. Teenagers can have a huge ministry. We need your ministry in a wide variety of areas. We have to be careful to say, we're going to let the young people. I did mine for 20 years now. We're going to let the young people do it. The young people need to know how you did it 20 years ago too. They must. Verse 18, Paul encourages us to deploy them with his church. Take a look at it again. Verse 18. But in fact, God has arranged the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. It's not a mistake you found your way to Grace Point. God doesn't make mistakes. As I mentioned earlier in first service, he makes on purposes. We need the spiritual gift that you've got. We need you to be here. Frankly, there's nowhere in the scriptures that mentions that a fifth Sunday servant is a Christian attitude we should be adopting. There's no room in scripture for a fifth Sunday servant. Because that's a far cry from how far and how long we really need you to minister and serve. Not every fifth Sunday. That's four times a year max. That's thin at best. I didn't say minister in the church. We minister with the church. The church is not the building. We dare not forget that. The church is the people. Whether we're meeting together on Sunday morning for corporate worship, in life groups, in groups of two or three, we need your spiritual gifts. That's why we're so big on life groups. Because I can't meet all the needs of each one of you. During family camp, we cannot be about numbers. The success of a ministry has nothing to do with numbers, ever. We had 20 here, we had 30 here, we had 50 here. That is never the goal in our motivation in Christian ministry. It's always about need. We need people at family camp. We need people in men's ministry, prayer time. We need people in our things. Why? Because there's needs there. And Brian and Steve and Aaron and Michael, we can't meet all of those needs of the 10 or the 15 or the 20 or the 30 or the 50 or the 100. We can't. We need you to exercise your spiritual gifts along with us because we cannot meet all the needs. Your gifts are vital to our ministries, to God's ministry. That's why Paul, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25 says, don't give up on meeting together. He says it's a sin to forget going to worship together in corporate worship. There's no thing in scriptures about what I call channel 46 church attendance. It doesn't work. You can't watch a guy in a white leisure suit on Channel 46 and think you went to church. That doesn't exist. In order to fulfill what God intended for going to church, you need to fellowship with one another. You need to participate in the Lord's table with one another. You need to be celebrating in baptisms with one another. You need to be practicing your spiritual gifts with one another. You can't get that on TV. We can barely get it during an hour of church service. That's why I'm get into a small group, get into a life group, because you can practice your spiritual gift, and they can encourage you with theirs too. That's why it's so huge. Deploy them with his church, his people, his saints. Verse 25, deploy them for the good of others and the glory of God. As I mentioned, there's coming a time for every believer, it's called the Bema seat, when we will stand before the Lord, we will be secured in our salvation, no question about it, and God will look at each one of us and say, what did you do with your Christian life after I trusted you as Savior? How did you use your spiritual gifts? Some will be burned as wood, hay, and stubble, others as gold, silver, and precious stones. 2 Corinthians 5:10, in the context around that passage, points to the Bema seat. It's only for believers. And God basically says, I entrusted you with a huge stuff. What'd you do? Let's talk about it. And we're going to experience a sense of loss, I think, and a sense of joy. But it's going to be a careful time. As I wrap up this morning, I wanted to share a little bit about how I see spiritual gifts. Sometimes I see them as a buffet table. I love buffets, and sometimes I see it as a sports team, specifically an NFL team. I love the NFL. I love football. And in football, you've got the players, you've got the spectators, and you have the injured reserve. The players, note this, the players have proven themselves coachable and in top condition. The smart team, the wise team, doesn't just choose players that are in top condition. They choose players that are coachable. Because you do no good to a team if you have a player that's not coachable. In Christian leadership, in Christian ministries, players need to be coachable as well. And then you've got spectators. They're diverse. Spectators are often dreaming one day of being on the field, or they can also be extremely content to just cheer when things go their way. Do I go there? When they sang the song that I wanted them to sing. When the preacher preached a message that touched me. When the greeter shook my hand. When I definitely got a piece of candy out of the candy jar. When things go my way, then I had a good time. That's spectator mentality. That's not player mentality. We need to be growing up past that, each one of us. And then there are the injured reserve, and that is a different matter. This is where Kelly and I were for a number of years, on the injured reserve list. The fact of the matter is that God calls his people sheep. Sheep bite, and bites sting. And it hurts. It hurts a lot. The memory of it hurts a lot. And so many people are on the injured reserve because they attempted to use their spiritual gift at another place or even at Grace Point. And frankly, we are all sinners. We are all saved by grace. We are all growing in grace and knowledge. None of us is perfect. And so Brian is probably going to say something stupid at one point and hurt your feelings. It's true. Others inside of our congregation are probably going to do things and say things that we wish we wouldn't or didn't. But given the opportunity, can make right. And sometimes we can hang on to that, and frankly, the root of bitterness can grow strong and it can grow fast. Sometimes the root comes on like a raging army of bitterness. So this morning, we need to confess bitterness, perhaps. And I want to think about three things that Kelly and I had to walk through and learn that perhaps as a injured reserve person, you might need to walk through and think about as well. The first is this: guard your heart. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, above all else, guard your heart, for it's a wellspring of life. Bitterness is killer. It's absolutely a destroyer of the Christian enjoyment of life. He's not talking about physical life. Bitterness, guard your heart, because it is the wellspring of full life. John chapter 10, that we might have life and have it to the full. But if you get bitter, it's going to just be squeezed right out, because it does hurt. It is extremely painful, and it makes you extremely cautious to step back into a ministry, to use your spiritual gifts, to get engaged with God's people in certain activities and events, and you want to be extremely careful. You've been hurt. Believe me, I know. I understand. Guard your heart against bitterness and against apathy. Also, champion humility. You have to personally champion humility. Proverbs 3:34, God mocks proud mockers but gives grace to the humble. It's easy for me to pretend that it's everybody else's fault what happened to me, frankly. And I hear these stories constantly, and it reminds me of my own situation and my own circumstances and how I was hurt. It wasn't all everybody else's fault. And the same goes for you, typically. You are always going to be, in one fashion or another, a cause or an instrument in the pain that you've received. That's the facts. And if you can champion humility for you, God will work on them. You have to champion humility. God, teach me. I want to be a humble servant. I want to recognize where I am at fault and where I need to do this third thing. Practice a forgiving attitude and action. Colossians 3:13, bear with each other, because frankly, some of us are bears. Some sheep turn into bears, and it's to bear with one another. You're like, oh, this person, yeah, that's just Sunday morning. Bear with each other. Forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you, because your brothers and sisters in Christ, he forgave me an immense amount of sin, and the bitterness is ripping me up. And if I don't champion humility in my own life, if I don't practice forgiving attitudes and actions, I will be on the injured reserve for the rest of my life. My family will see it. My wife will see it. My boys will be taught what that means. And they will become bittered against the Lord, bittered against his ministry, bittered against his church, and washouts. I couldn't do it. I didn't want to do it. I didn't want them to have to walk through that. Perhaps you've got some lessons in that area as well. Using the sports analogy, don't blame the owner for the actions of the players and honestly the coaches. There needs to be some talking done. There are no players that are perfect. There are no coaches that are perfect. The owner, however, is a perfect owner. Lastly, if it's been a year, this is a new season. This is a new team. Perhaps you were hurt at another church and you've come to Grace Point for healing. Perhaps you were injured reserve here at Grace Point a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. The people at Grace Point hurt me. Yeah, I get it. This is a new team, a new place, new leaders. If God is growing and forgiving you in your heart, we expect him to do the same for the coaches and all the rest of the players. That's what makes this a new team. Give it another shot. Humbly step in with your gifts and say, I'd love to serve. I'd love to participate. I will not give up on what God is doing in my heart and in my life at this place. This is where God is moving. We believe that, and we're optimistic about it, and we need you to step out of the injured reserve. I know it's hard. I know it's extremely difficult. It brings back pain and tears and a level of transparency and trepidation that is not easily overcome. I know that. But we need you. I need you. My boys need your gifts in their lives as I desire to have them grow here at Grace Point. Friends, success is what God has entrusted you to do for all our sakes. Please do it. Father, our God, we come to you this morning, many of us on injured reserve. Father, I pray, our God, that you would work in those hearts and in those lives, that they would recognize their status, that they would recognize, Lord, if that root of bitterness is coming in. Lord, that they would forsake those things and that they would seek humility, seek forgiving attitudes and actions. Lord, that we'd be more like you and less like ourselves. Father, we pray, God, that you would help us as you have entrusted us with spiritual gifts to minister with them for your glory and in your power, because you have a fabulous kingdom. It puts a smile on our face. Oh God, help us not to stand by idly as you do your work. Help us to step in and get involved and get engaged, because we love you. We love this place. We love Grace Point. Father, encourage us in those ways. We thank you for saving us. We thank you for gifting us. We thank you for entrusting us, because he died for us on the cross. Amen.